When you sit down with a massive jigsaw puzzle, like a 1,000-piece set, the very first thing you do is prop up that box cover.
Right, yeah. You need that picture.
Exactly. You have to know what you're actually building, or else, you're just lost in this sea of cardboard pieces.
Oh, without the box, you're just staring at a pile of jagged, disconnected fragments. You end up trying to force pieces together that just don't belong.
Yeah, but imagine trying to build that puzzle today, right? Except there is no box. The picture's completely missing.
Which is stressful enough on its own.
Right. And to make matters worse, someone is basically standing over you, constantly dumping handfuls of pieces from entirely different puzzles right onto your table.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it feels like trying to navigate the modern information landscape.
Yeah.
I mean, it is actively designed to be disorienting for you.
It really is. It's an environment that preys on our natural instinct to just, make sense of things. When we feel out of the loop, our reflex is to just consume more content.
Oh, totally. More feeds, more opinions.
Yeah, more breaking news alerts. But clarity doesn't come from sheer volume. In fact, volume is often the weapon used to keep you confused.
It absolutely is. So, welcome, Truth Seekers, on behalf of the Great Awakening Report, to the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing.
Today, we are doing a deep dive into the mainstream media featured news for the week of May 8, 2026.
Yeah. And before we really get into the heavy stuff, we just want to start by acknowledging your daily reality right now.
Absolutely.
We know the sheer chaos of the world today. We feel that heavy burden of information overload, the engineered distraction, and honestly, the very real, very exhausting challenges of just navigating daily life.
It is a lot to carry. I mean, which is exactly why the mission of this deep dive is to shift your framework entirely.
Right. We want to change how you look at this.
Yeah, we're going to look at how to recognize early signals,
Yeah.
how to follow the threads connecting those signals, and finally, how to see the broader patterns they form.
Because when you apply this framework, you stop being a reactive consumer of news,
Yeah.
bouncing from one outrage to the next.
Exactly. You step back, you become an observer who can actually see the big picture.
And today we have a roadmap that connects the dots between five massive, seemingly separate developments happening right now in the news.
It's a packed week.
It is. We are going to explore the new perpetual cycle of global conflict, the profound collision of global ambition with domestic economic reality, and the silent spread of instability into places you might not expect.
Plus, the incredibly timely May 8th release of U.S. government UAP file.
Oh, yeah. And finally, the hidden structural drivers that are absolutely crushing the cost of living.
Right, it all connects. And to see how, we really have to start by looking at a fundamental shift in how the world actually operates right now. Because the whole model of what constitutes a war has fundamentally changed.
It really has. I
Yeah.
mean, we grew up with this very defined idea of conflict having a clear beginning, middle, and end, right?
Yeah, a narrative arc.
Exactly. You had a formal declaration, a defined geographic battlefield, and eventually a treaty signed at a desk.
But when you look at the geopolitical data today, that episodic model of warfare is just completely gone.
It's entirely obsolete.
Yeah, we are no longer seeing distinct episodic disruptions. What the sources are showing is that we are living through an era of continuous multi-domain geopolitical tension.
Multi-domain being the key phrase there.
Exactly. It is not just about troops on the ground anymore. It's cyber warfare, it's economic coercion, it's weaponized information.
And a massive web of proxy battles.
Yes. When you map out the long arcs of modern history, like the Cold War and then the War on Terror, you realize they didn't really end.
No, they didn't. They just evolved.
Right. They mutated into these overlapping pressures we are seeing dominate 2026.
So you've got the ongoing, grinding reality of the Russia-Ukraine war. You have extreme, simmering Middle East tensions, and this overarching great power competition with China and Russia acting as constant daily flashpoints.
And what's fascinating is how this new reality completely rewrites the definition of stability.
Oh, that's a great point.
Because stability used to mean peace, right? It meant the absence of war. Today, in 2026, stability is simply the ability of a government or a global system to manage constant unyielding friction without completely breaking down.
It's like society is a computer running a massive, heavy background process.
Oh, that's a really good way to put it.
Right. You don't always see it as an active window on your screen, but it's constantly draining the battery. It's slowing everything else down.
Yeah, the fans are spinning super loud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is modern stability just our ability to tolerate a perpetually low battery without the whole system crashing?
I think that is an incredibly apt way to visualize it. And to build on that computer analogy, when a processor is running at 99% capacity just to handle background tasks, the entire machine runs dangerously hot.
There's no processing power left for anything else.
None. Those background processes in our world, like the cyber defenses, the massive shifting of global supply chains to avoid conflict zones, the constant military posturing, they require an immense, continuous draw of resources.
The system never goes to sleep.
Never. But keeping that massive background process running requires massive amounts of power.
And resources.
Yeah.
Unimaginable amounts of money.
Exactly. And the cost of maintaining this perpetual conflict is hitting a severe breaking point right in our own backyards.
Which brings us to the second major theme from the sources today, this massive structural tension, the collision of global ambition and domestic reality.
This is where the math simply stops working.
Yeah.
You have major governments desperately attempting to maintain their international influence while simultaneously facing intensive, fragile economies at home.
We're talking about entrenched inflation, a massive expansion of national debt, and domestic infrastructure that is severely strained.
Right.
Now, wait, let me push back on this premise for a second. Because hasn't the public always complained about sending money overseas? I mean, the sources mention historical parallels, right? Like during the Vietnam War era, domestic unrest severely eroded support for that conflict.
Yes, absolutely.
And the 2008 financial crisis forced governments to completely recalculate their tolerance for expensive foreign interventions.
Right.
So what makes the economic strain of 2026 a unique, dangerous breaking point compared to those past events?
It's a vital question, and those historical parallels are absolutely valid. But what makes 2026 entirely unprecedented is the sheer convergence of these pressures.
Meaning they're all happening at once.
Exactly. In 2008, the financial system broke, but the U.S. wasn't facing a coordinated pushback from multiple rival superpowers at the exact same time.
Right. The geopolitical landscape was relatively unipolar.
Yeah. And during Vietnam, there was intense domestic unrest, but the underlying industrial and economic base of the country was still fundamentally robust.
Okay, I see. So today it's unprecedented global commitments layered on top of intensely fragile domestic economies.
With absolutely zero shock absorption left. The briefings actually model a 2026 Iran war scenario that perfectly illustrates this.
Oh, wow. What does that show?
It shows how a localized geopolitical event today doesn't just stay local, it immediately triggers a massive global economic shock.
Walk us through how exactly that mechanism works.
Well, say a conflict shuts down a major shipping lane, oil markets spike instantly.
Right.
That energy spike immediately hits the logistics and transport sector, which freezes global supply chains.
And that causes an instant spike in inflation for basic goods.
Exactly. Because governments today have no fiscal buffer left, central banks are forced to hold interest rates painfully high, which then crushes the domestic housing market and chokes small businesses.
So a missile fired overseas today translates into a shuttered factory in your town incredibly fast.
It's immediate. So because these major powers are deeply financially constrained, and frankly, they want to avoid the terrible political optics of massive troop deployments, the warfare isn't stopping.
It's just mutating.
Yes. It's spreading into quieter, unseen territories.
Which moves us into the third area, the silent spread of instability. Global actors are actively spreading their risk through complex proxy engagements across regions like Africa, the Caucasus, and Southeast Asia.
And it's not just geographic expansion. The battlefield itself has moved into economic choke points.
We are seeing aggressive developments reported just this week in the mainstream news. For example, on May 6, 2026, the sources report a massive U.S. military standoff involving over 100 aircraft aimed at bringing Iran's mullahs to their knees over the Strait of Hormuz.
Which is one of the most vital maritime energy choke points on the entire planet.
Exactly. And right alongside that physical posturing, the reports detail Donald Trump issuing rapid fire, 5-minute stretches of severe terrorists and aggression against a staggering list of nations.
Yeah, India, Iran, Cuba, Colombia, Mexico, and Greenland.
Right, alongside the capture of Venezuela's Maduro. And again, we're just reporting what the sources are highlighting here.
Yeah.
But it is a dizzying amount of geopolitical friction happening simultaneously.
When you connect these events, it reveals a clear pattern. Diplomatic and economic tools are being weaponized just as aggressively as military hardware.
Yeah.
A tariff threat can cause as much damage to a rival nation's stability as a targeted airstrike.
But I have to ask a structural question here. When analysts call this expansion of conflict quiet,
mm-hmm.
is it because these proxy wars and economic battles are actually small in scale?
Not at all.
Or is it just because our traditional media lens is far too narrow to recognize a maritime shipping lane or a digital network as a modern active battlefield?
It is absolutely the latter. Sending over 100 combat aircraft to posture over the Strait of Hormuz is not small.
No.
A sweeping tariff threat that could instantly upend supply chains in Mexico and India is not small.
Right. That impacts the price of electronics in your local stores almost immediately.
Exactly. But because it doesn't look like a World War II trench, it doesn't register in the public consciousness as a war. The footprint of global conflict is vastly larger than what is publicly recognized by traditional media.
Okay, so if we zoom out, global attention is scattered across these expanding terrestrial proxy conflicts. But at the exact same time, our perception of reality itself is being carefully managed in a completely different domain.
Yes.
We are suddenly being told to look up at the skies.
The momentum around disclosure.
Yeah.
The conversation regarding UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, has entirely left the fringes.
It is now deeply embedded in serious institutional discourse. And the timing of this is wild because specifically this week, May 8, 2026, we are seeing the unsealing of U.S. government UAP files.
Right. And what we are seeing is a very clear pattern of controlled release.
Governments aren't just opening the vault and dumping the truth on the table.
No, they are handing out fragmented pieces of data very, very deliberately. The goal of a controlled release is to normalize the conversation over time. They're actively conditioning public awareness.
Without causing societal panic.
Exactly.
It feels almost like exposure therapy for humanity.
That's exactly what it is.
Instead of dropping an ultimate truth bomb all at once, institutions are microdosing the public with reality. But I have to wonder, doesn't this controlled release of the unknown also serve as a highly convenient distraction?
Oh, it definitely does.
Because populations right now are experiencing immense global and economic instability down here on Earth.
It's a critical question. And the beauty of the framework we're using is that it allows two seemingly contradictory things to be true at once.
Right.
Civilian detection technologies have advanced to the point where institutional acknowledgement of UAPs is inevitable. But the pacing of that disclosure, the specific timing of these unsealings.
It provides a highly convenient focal point.
Yes. It shifts public attention away from failing infrastructure and crippling inflation. It's very politically useful to direct human curiosity outward into the mysteries of the unknown.
Wow. Directing human curiosity to manage perception. That is a massive thread right there.
It really is.
Because while our eyes are drawn upward, mesmerized by what might be in the sky, the most immediate, tangible, and dangerous pressure is building right beneath our feet.
Hiding in plain sight at the grocery store and the gas pump.
Which brings us to the fifth and final area, the hidden drivers of systemic strain. We have to look at the deep interdependence of global food systems, energy markets, and your personal household economics.
And the data really drills down into this delayed feedback loop. Because most people think of the economy as instant. You swipe a card, you get a product.
Yeah, but agriculture and global energy do not work on an instant timeline.
No, they operate on a massive delay. Energy is the foundational input that quietly drives everything. And the link between energy and food is absolute.
The sources specifically mention the hidden link between global energy and the Haber-Bosch process.
Right.
Which, wait, explain that really quick for people who aren't familiar.
Yeah, sure. It's the industrial method the world uses to produce synthetic fertilizer. It keeps half the planet alive. To make it, you need nitrogen and hydrogen. You get the nitrogen from the air, but you get the hydrogen by stripping it from natural gas.
Oh, wow.
So natural gas isn't just the fuel to power the factory. It is the actual chemical feedstock required to create the fertilizer.
So when global energy costs spike, or when natural gas supplies are constrained by those proxy conflicts, fertilizer production becomes astronomically expensive.
Exactly. But you don't feel that spike the day it happens. You feel it 6 to 8 months later, when the harvest comes in significantly smaller.
The geopolitical disruption happens today, But the brutal price shock at your local grocery store happens half a year from now.
And we are seeing those delayed shocks hitting right now. The briefings highlight how food prices in the UK are currently feeling completely out of control.
And there are stark warnings that everything will be in short supply over the next 6 months. Yet, you turn on the mainstream financial news, and the official economic indicators are painted as quite rosy.
This is a critical concept to grasp, the perception gap. Aggregate economic indicators are mathematically designed to smooth over localized cost increases. They look at the broad average.
Yeah, right.
But you, the individual consumer, do not live in an aggregate average. You live in the cumulative reality of your specific housing costs, utility bills, and food costs all rising simultaneously.
It's like looking at a tree that experts claim is perfectly healthy based on a few green leaves at the top.
Yeah.
But the person who actually waters the tree can plainly see that the root system is rotting. The official data says everything is stabilizing, but your grocery receipt and your utility bill are telling an undeniable story of systemic strain.
Absolutely. And those roots represent our physical infrastructure, which is operating at the absolute brink of its capacity.
Okay, let's step back and connect all of these dots.
Let's do it.
We have a new baseline of continuous global conflict. That conflict drains resources and pushes domestic economies to the brink. To manage that conflict, powers weaponize energy and supply chains.
Right.
And that quietly chokes the global food supply and drives up the cost of living.
And the resulting societal stress creates a fertile ground for introducing the unknown. The controlled release of UAP disclosure gives a public that is exhausted a totally different focus.
It is a fully interconnected loop.
It really is.
Which brings us to the conscious wrap-up of today's briefing. Recognizing these massive patterns isn't about giving in to doom and gloom.
No, it's the exact opposite.
Seeing the structure of this system is the first step to breaking free from the fear-based matrix. It's about higher frequency living.
When you can clearly see the mechanics of the fear and the architecture of the distraction, it instantly loses its power over you.
There is an incredible quote from the briefing today. You're either outside acting in the movie or going within to watch it consciously.
That's powerful.
So we have to ask you directly. Are you caught in the chaos, reacting to every terrifying headline? Or are you anchored in presence, calmly watching the patterns unfold as an observer?
It requires a deliberate choice to step into that observer position.
It does. And as we wrap up, we want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over.
Yeah.
If economic narratives are being carefully smoothed over to manage your perception, and if UAP disclosure is a controlled release to manage your reality, could it be that the ultimate unmentioned battleground of 2026 isn't a territory or an economy at all? Could it be that the real fight is to capture and control your personal attention and awareness?
If they control where your attention goes, they control the reality you perceive.
Exactly. Keep tracking the signals. Stay grounded.
Yeah.
Maintain your sovereignty. And most importantly, don't let anyone else tell you what's on the cover of your box.